Tell me your name, age, and what's your day job?
Scott Stone. I am 47. I am the president of a regional engineering company that's headquartered here in Charlotte, American Engineering. And we do civil engineering, surveying, infrastructure design, those kinds of things.
By definition, Charlotte has a weak mayor system. Really rare that you get a vote on the city council. This is an office you ran for before, in 2011, I believe.
Right.
Why are you dying to be the, you know, a mayor that is inherently less powerful than, say, city council members?
Well, I disagree that it's less powerful or less influential. It is actually much more. It depends on what you do with it. Like a lot of positions, it is a force of personality position. And I've had some of those kinds of roles within the private sector as well, where you don't have hiring and firing authority or direct P&L experience in some cases. So to be effective, you've got to use the tools that you've got. You've got to use the bully pulpits. You've got to use force of personality, basically, to get things done. With this, the mayor's job, you do have the veto, and the veto is very influential and powerful because when you use that, you've got to then get a certain number of votes to override you, and that's critically important when we have such a stacked Democratic side right now on council. It gives a little bit more balance to the city government, which we desperately need. We've had too many 92 votes on city council the last couple of years, so that's one thing. But I think the mayor can really set the agenda. He can really kind of set the tone for the city, and is also the lead economic development recruiter for the city. So as we're looking at the next big new headquarters that's going to come here, the mayor has a big role in that.
And if you were mayor, what are some of the policies, the priorities you would make? What are you running on?
Well, first of all, we've got to restore trust in government. Our last elected mayor is sitting in federal prison right now, and I think it's no accident that all the members of council and all the members, all the various Democrats that are running, all supported him when he won 2 years ago. They may not have supported him in a primary, but they supported him at the end. And I think there was a lot of questions about him at the time. People knew he had some character issues, and that some of those things had already been reported on. And I think that's why you saw so many Democrats supporting somebody else in the primary. But at the end of the day, they ended up getting behind him at the end because they wanted to see a Democrat no matter what. And so they chose a corrupt Democrat over an honest Republican. And that's not what's right for Charlotte. So I think we need to, first and foremost, we need to restore trust in city government. And we've seen some things this year that indicate that there's still some issues within the trust and levels, I guess we'll call it, within the city government. Our budget issue, for example, and this dovetails another reason why I'm running. Obviously, the second time we've raised taxes in 3 years. We raised taxes really for the biggest reason was the streetcar. But the overall process of the budget was disingenuous. It wasn't transparent. The city manager would not present a budget that had the streetcar kind of clearly defined in there. What's the impact of the streetcar? The streetcar is kind of being paid for out of a few different pockets of money. From the very get-go, the city manager said, we have a $22 million budget gap. We've got to fill that. Oh no, what are we going to do? I don't know how you can start a budget process talking about a budget gap when you don't know what your spending is yet. Some of the revenue sources went down, but some of those went down because, for example, Jennifer Roberts botched our revaluation process 4 years ago. That thing finally got resolved, and that was where some of the revenues went away.
You also have some issues coming from Raleigh. I mean, you could talk about the loss of the business privilege license
tax. True. Which was actually pushed by Dan Clodfelter when he was in the state Senate. But here's the key thing, and this is, if I could leave people with one thing about the budget process and the transparency of government, when we heard that there was this loss of revenue, we're assuming, oh my goodness, we've got this big budget gap. We spent more money next year. The new budget will have more spending and more revenues in it than the last budget. We will actually spend $22 million more than we did last year. So that $22 million budget gap, we've actually increased spending by $22 million. And if you look at that's just the operating budget, the general fund, sorry. If you look at the overall budget, which is over $2 billion, we'll spend $137 million more next year than we did this year. And if we had just held the line on spending and we were flat on it, we wouldn't have needed a tax increase because we had more revenues.
Let's talk about another potential hit to the city when it comes to budget, which is sales tax redistribution.
Yeah.
What is your view on that?
I know it's something the legislature's talking about. I think they're trying to be fair to other outlying parts of the state that don't have the same revenue streams that we do. However, I don't really understand how that – first of all, it doesn't seem to be a good conservative Republican kind of take to it. So that's why you're seeing some Republicans within, you know, from the Charlotte delegation are pushing back on it. So one thing we need to do for certain, and this is one message I would bring to my friends in Raleigh, is that we've got to have some consistency in how we do things. They're trying to undo 100 years worth of, in many cases, bad policies. But we've got to be able to count on what our revenues are going to be, at least from the city from the state standpoint, in terms of tax revenues from things like that. So I'm not a fan of that proposal. I think it's still in flux. So I'd like to see where it ends up. But one of the things that I think I can bring to the mayor's office, and I don't think anyone else can, is a relationship with the Republican legislature. I almost went back in time there for a second. The Republican legislature and the Republican administration that we need to work very collaboratively with. This is the biggest city in the state, and Charlotte is the main driver of economic prosperity for the state. We've got Raleigh is kind of that second engine out there as well.
But I have to ask you, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but
sure.
If the current governor, mm-hmm. former mayor,
yes,
fellow Republican,
yes,
if he can't advocate for Charlotte issues, what makes you different?
Well, I think he does. Well, first of all, I don't think that the governor is going to advocate for Charlotte issues specifically, because that's not his job anymore. His job is to look out for what he thinks is best for the entire state. And I think when he was mayor, he did just this. He did advocate for Charlotte because that was where he was representing. And that is sometimes, I'm sure, he struggles with what he thinks is good for Charlotte versus what's good for the state, and he's tried to balance it. I think his heart is always going to be in the right place, and I think he will try to push for policies that doesn't adversely affect one versus the other.
Let's shift to talk a little bit about transportation. Obviously, I'm guessing you haven't ridden the streetcar yet.
I have not ridden it yet. I'm going to wait till the massive crowds die down, because I don't want to have to worry about getting a seat.
So you are not a fan of
the
streetcar?
No.
It sounds like you see it as a bit of a financial boondoggle.
I see several issues with it. Yes, I think it's a boondoggle. I think it is let me lay out several issues. One, it's a safety issue, and I've always said that, because when you have a train sharing the same right-of-way, same lanes as cars, that's a recipe for disaster. And if you look at any other city that's tried this experiment, they've had accidents as well. And whether it's a runaway train like we had, running into the back of a car like we had, or if it's just people sharing a lane and the streetcar can't stop very quickly, that's a problem. And it's less nimble than a bus. And so it's just I'm an engineer. I'm a civil engineer. I deal with transportation infrastructure issues, not just in Charlotte, across the country, and have for a couple of decades. I just find it to be an inefficient mode of transportation. So that's one problem with it. The other problem with it is the way we're paying for it and the way it's been rolled out. The CATS 2030 plan had the streetcar in it, and we could debate whether or not that was even the right thing to do. But it had it in there, and it had it as the east-west connection. But it wasn't supposed to come for another several years. It was not the next priority line. So the fact that certain members of council said, no, we can't wait, we've got to do it now because it's so critically important. I don't know why it's so critically important that we do it now, but they've pushed it ahead. So this is not being paid for out of the half-cent sales tax. The blue line, which is already up and running and also under construction.
And that's the light rail.
Correct. I'm sorry. Yeah, they've tried to take the streetcar and rename it the gold line or something to make you think it's not a streetcar. But right, the blue line is the light rail. That is comes up from the south and will jog to the northeast. That line is being paid for at the half-cent sales tax, which the public all voted for. There's other lines out there. The red line is the north, basically essentially the north line that would go up towards Huntersville. All of that's to be paid for at the half-cent sales tax, as was the streetcar. But some people in government on this city council said, well, we can't wait just because we want what we want when we want it, and we shouldn't have to wait. So it's being paid for, in many cases, out of the general fund. Now, we're not sure exactly how 100% of it's being paid for, because that hasn't been very transparent. But I've got a problem with it as well, just from a mode of transportation, because I think we've got to revisit that East-West connection. I don't know why people in the East and West are satisfied with a streetcar instead of a light rail line, because it operates differently. It's not as efficient. It's slow. And if they're going to have the same kind of a scenario that the South End has had, you've got to have it as more of a light rail and not a streetcar. And that's going to mean it's going to be a further out. They're going to have to wait for it. But we're building out this system for the next generation, not for next week. So these are big decisions with real money implications, and we've got to try to look at this in a very long-term approach.
Another long-term approach, it seems, when it comes to our roadways, are toll lanes.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about I-77, which has gotten a whole lot of the attention right now. We heard at a recent dinner meeting of the council plans for toll lanes for I-77 South, for 74, for 45. Yeah. What is your view on these dedicated toll lanes as an answer to our road infrastructure problems?
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, we'd love to have no toll lanes. That's certainly what we would like and what we prefer. The ones that are existing or under, I guess we'll say 485 and 77, which are already kind of in motion, if you will, those are legacies left over from past plans, and they were how we were planning to pay for things going forward. I think if you look at what one thing that a lot of people don't realize and is that the governor and the DOT have put in place for state roads a new funding mechanism. The revenue stream isn't changing because we still need more revenues to pay for roads. But the way we choose which roads get built when is certainly different. They've taken the politics out of it. There used to be, and if anyone's driven in the eastern part of the state, they see these fantastic roads that nobody's driving on. Well, that's because that's where the power was in the state. So it depended on who was the legislator from that district and so forth. What they've done over the last few months is been able to take that funding model and they score it based on traffic and need and economic development. And so we're going to be building going forward roads where they should be built and where the best needs are. So that where we're struggling a little bit on 45 and on 77 is those projects were already in the queue and we're not having to go back and rescore everything. But going forward, there are certain projects that people would like to see that may score well and may not score well. But the good thing about it is it takes the politics out. I would actually like to see us do that with our capital improvement program for within Charlotte. Right now, we have some needs, and whether it's stormwater, whether it's road widening, intersection improvements, all those kinds of things. Sometimes how those get jockey for position, there can be some politics involved in that. I would love to have this more of a formulaic approach so we can take the politics out of it and put the money where the best needs are. And I think everyone wants their part of the city to get what they have coming to them. But I know there's some frustrations in part of the city as well that certain parts of the city are paying a lot of the taxes, but they're not getting their fair share. And I don't think it has to be a one-for-one, but we need to put the money where it's going to have the most impact, and we have it more of a process that takes politics out of it.
What about economic incentives for businesses? That's another issue that's been political for over the, well, I think forever.
Forever, yeah.
Forever. But we've seen a bit of controversy with Chiquita in particular. Yeah. What is your view on economic incentives to bring businesses to Charlotte?
Well, let's just look at Chiquita as an example. I think I was against that incentive from the get-go because we did something with Chiquita that we've never done before. We've never given money up front. Chiquita wanted actually money up front to help them relocate people and all that. I would never be in favor of that. It's something, like I said, we've never done before. We had clawback provisions in there and so forth, but that assumes the company stays intact and it doesn't go out of business. And now we've got to try to employ those clawback provisions. How do we get that money back from them? We may be able to do it, but whenever we give incentives, it shouldn't be that way. It should be a rebate on money they're paying into the system that isn't already coming in. So it's that if not before they will come, if not before the incentive, we won't come kind of scenario has also got to be part of that, which is language you see in every economic incentive. We've got another challenge, though, and this is something that I would like to see us work with South Carolina on, and I don't think we've really taken off the gloves on this, in that I'm really against this border hopping. What happens? You saw it with LPL Financial. You've seen it with other big deals where they play North Carolina against South Carolina just so they can move across the border in south of Ballantyne or in York County, and South Carolina is paying huge incentives. And it's really, there's no secret about it. They, when South Carolina is luring companies, particularly particularly white collar jobs, they're playing off of Charlotte, so they want to have the best of both worlds. But yet, we also have four counties out of the 16 that are part of the Charlotte Regional Partnership are South Carolina, counties. So we need to have that discussion. I'm all for having us compete, fairly when something's new to the region. But when South Carolina is paying huge incentives just to lure us across the, a company across the border, we've got to deal with that. That's unacceptable.
I want to shift to kind of social issues here for a second. Sure. There are two things that have happened over the last little while. One, which is happening as we speak, of course, is the Randall Carrick trial here in Charlotte. And there was also a report that showed that Mecklenburg County is at the bottom of the list when it comes to upward mobility. Basically, whatever socioeconomic group that you're born into, you have a better chance of being stuck in that socioeconomic group in Mecklenburg than just about anywhere else in the U.S. How would you focus on those issues or help to fix those issues? Or what would you do with those issues?
Well, let's start with the Randall Carrick trial that's going on right now. I'm very pleased with how our police force has handled itself over the last few months and years. I think that our past chief did a good job. I think he did a really good job of reaching out to the community, engaging the community. One of the statistics that is very helpful when you look at police departments and what their relationship is if you look at what their homicide rate in terms of clearing those cases is. Because if you've got, and Baltimore is a good example where they've got a lot of challenges right now, it's because of the way the issue was handled by the mayor and the DA, but also there is some issues within the police force, and I think it's somewhere around 50% of cases get cleared of homicides, where ours is much higher than that. I'm not sure what the number is off the top of my head, but what that shows is it shows the trust factor between neighbors and people in the community and the police department, because if they don't trust the police, they're not going to cooperate in any investigations. So that's a very good metric for that. And we've just done a great job of embracing the community with the simulators they've rolling out to try to show the average citizen what is it like to be a police officer. And it's scary. These guys take their lives in their hands. So I think we've done a great job there. I think the new chief is fantastic. I've met him and I'm very impressed with him. So I think our police force is second to none. They're going to continue to do well representing us and protecting us. So I don't think we're going to see the same kinds of issues we've seen in other places because of the relationships with the police have with the community. But also, it's how you interact as a city leader, how the mayor handles these situations. They can either tamp it down and make everyone kind of feel a little more comfortable, or they can, incite anxieties. So I think it's a big part of it.
And about social mobility?
Social mobility is an interesting statistic because if you look at Charlotte, it's hard to kind of say, because we're such a fast-growing city, I think there's a lot of different dynamics that go into that number. And when you've got so many people that are moving here from other places that change the basically the denominator in that number of how many people and how many have moved up, what is that based on? I've not seen the statistics of it. I think as a broader term, though, creating a strong economy, having a healthy jobs environment, that's key. And that's a huge part of why it's not a lot of the things I'm going to talk about on the stump, because some of these things aren't very sexy, but it is recruiting companies here, creating a business environment that's very, very good for companies to relocate here or for people to expand here. That's a big part of the job of mayor, and I'm going to work very hard on that. One of the things I've talked about in the past I'd like to see us continue to do is embrace manufacturing back in Mecklenburg County in the city of Charlotte. We have some good apprenticeship programs that some companies like Siemens have done, and working very closely with CPCC and Tony Zeiss has really done well with that. I'd like to see that go deeper and wider and start even in the high schools much more than it does now. It does in the high schools a little bit now, but I'd like to see that much more of a program embraced by CMS. And a lot of these kids, we've got to keep them in school. So we've got to get kids graduating, and our graduation rates have improved with CMS, but we've got a little ways to go still. And we've got to get them transitioning straight from high school straight into a career without any gap there. And I think that will address some of the issues that are in those numbers.
The last question should be the easiest, especially for somebody who's going for mayor. And we give you the last word. What is your elevator speech, your quick elevator speech as to why we should pick you as mayor?
Well, the reason that, people should elect Scott Stone as mayor is that I'm the only one running that has true private sector experience. I run a company right now. I've run big operations for national firms over the last few years. That's something I bring to the table that no one else can bring to it to my level. We've got to turn this city around. It's been drifting off in the wrong direction for the last couple of years. We've got to start taking some of the social issues out of the city council agenda. There seems to be a lot of special interest groups that are getting involved and trying to hijack the agenda. I think if we can stay out of our own way and focus on the business of running the city in an efficient, effective way, keep our taxes reasonable, which, again, we've had two tax increases in 3 years. We've had divisive issues continue to interject itself. I think if we just move all that stuff to the side and focus on running the city the right way, I think we can have the next 10 years of unbelievable prosperity for this community. And I will not only bring the experience of running companies to that, but also the willingness to stand up and fight for not just conservative issues and Republican issues, but things that are going to be impactful for the entire community.
Scott Stone, thank you.
Thanks.